Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Arguably the greatest book ever published on American soil about our Blessed Mother Mary was that produced by the man who is perhaps the greatest of theologians our country has ever produced, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And the book is entitled The World's First Love. And I was flipping through it yesterday morning in preparation for the Solemnity of the Assumption. Our Blessed Mother Mary, our belief that Our Lady was assumed body and soul at the moment of her passing from this life into the glory of heaven. And Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he has arguments that support this teaching, unlike any I'd ever heard before, and I want to just share one this morning in connection with this gospel. And the sisters were here at Mass yesterday morning, and they love this because it gets to the heart of who they are as a community. What is the title of our Dominican sisters' religious order? They are Dominican sisters of what? They're a certain branch of Dominicans. They are Dominican sisters of Mary, but under a very unique title of Our Lady. They are Dominican sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. And Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, if Our Lady's the Mother of the Eucharist, she must be assumed into heaven. He says this. He says, we've all heard the saying, you are what you eat. Right? Whatever you eat, it's going to affect your body. But he says, whatever you eat, every single one of us is going to die, no matter what we eat. With the exception of those who eat the bread of life. Because our Lord says, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will live forever. But he says, what does that mean about our Blessed Mother Mary? Because she not only ate the bread of life, but the bread of life came forth in and through her. She is the mother of the Eucharist. And he says this, if she is the mother of the Eucharist, not only will her body not die, not only will she live forever, but her body would not even be decomposed at the moment of its passing. It would never suffer any decay because the flesh for the life of the world came forth from her flesh. And so God would not allow that flesh to see decomposition. It would be assumed into heaven. Now I was reflecting on that and I remembered St. Ignatius. When they found his journal after he had died, he shared this. That one day coming into Mass, he said a quick prayer to the Holy Spirit. He said, Holy Spirit, work in me throughout the celebration of this Mass. He said from that moment as he processed into church, he saw and felt Our Lady throughout the entire Mass. But he said above all, at the moment of consecration, he heard Our Lady interceding for him as a priest to God the Father to obtain the grace of transubstantiation. That Jesus' flesh would always come forth in and through her as it did initially. That she's the mother of the Eucharist. But he went further and he said the most mysterious aspect. He said, I understood Our Lady gave me to know that when that bread and wine became her son's body and blood, her flesh was somehow contained within his flesh. Now, that's rather mysterious, written in the 1600s. But about 20 years ago, a medical doctor, and now this is a proven scientific fact, discovered that when a woman conceives a child, and that child comes forth, actually even in the womb, but we know this when a child is born, that something of the mother always passes to her child. And you say, well, gosh, of course, I mean, it's the child is born in her womb, but there are cells that pass from a mother to the child that remain in that child forever. That if you took a DNA sample, you would find living cells of the mother in her child. Which is why when a mother dies, you can say that she lives on in her children. But also it helps us to understand that when a mother loses her child before she dies, that something of that mother dies in that child. So what does this mean? If Our Lady's flesh is in the flesh of her son, that means that bread, it must be living bread, or her flesh could not be alive in his flesh. It really is living bread. It's living flesh and blood. 2 days ago, somebody sent me something I'd never known about Pope Francis. When he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires, when he was the Cardinal Archbishop, a priest contacted him one day and said, Archbishop, I have to let you know something. About 3 months ago, a parishioner came up to me after Sunday Mass, and she found a consecrated host that someone had dropped on the ground. And she brought it forward. And in those situations, either you would consume that host, or more often, you put that host in a little jar of water, and you let it dissolve, and then you pour it back into nature. So he takes that host, he puts it in a little jar of water, and he puts it in the tabernacle. Well, he forgets about it, and 3 months go by. And one day, he's cleaning out the tabernacle, and he finds that host that's dissolved. Then he finds what looks to him like human flesh. So he calls the archbishop, and he says, Archbishop, this is what I found. And he said, okay, I want you to take a specimen of it and give it to a doctor to examine. It might be a miracle. So he gives it to a doctor, and a doctor contacts him, and he says, this is human flesh. And he says, but interestingly, it's flesh of a human heart, so I'm going to send it on to a cardiologist. Well, he sends it on to the cardiologist, but doesn't tell him where it came from. And the cardiologist contacts him back and says, yes, you're correct, it is heart tissue. But he says, I need to know where you found this specimen, because something unprecedented has taken place. This heart tissue is still alive. When you take heart flesh from a person, a specimen, it would only live for a few minutes. And he says that heart tissue has been out of someone's body for at least 3 months. When that man, that doctor, found out where it came from, he was a self-proclaimed atheist but grew up Catholic. He returned to the church next Sunday. But my brothers and sisters, it's living flesh, and our Lord says that. So when we receive the Eucharist, what are we receiving? That flesh, which when it touched a blind man's eyes, he could see again. When it reached out and took a little girl's hand who was deceased, she was raised from the dead by coming in contact with that flesh. Or when our Lord touched a leper, his body was cleansed. And we receive that flesh every single Sunday. But I want to say something further, because I don't think we often recognize this or realize this. If someone asks you, when you receive the body and blood of our Lord, what state of life is our Lord in, or what aspect of his flesh are you receiving, what would you say? I think most Catholics would say, well, gosh, you know, we believe the Mass is the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross, so I receive his crucified body. And that is true. But it's not the fullness of truth. The teaching of our faith is that when we receive the body and blood of our Lord, we receive it under every aspect of his existence. And I would recommend that you meditate on this maybe the next few Sundays. So when you receive our Lord, you receive his body as it was in his mother's womb. You receive his body as it was lying in a manger. You receive his body as it worked miracles. You receive his body as it hung upon the cross. But most especially, you receive his body as it is right now in heaven. You receive the body of the risen Lord that could pass through walls, that when he breathed, it imparted the gift of forgiving sins to the apostles. And this is why when we receive our Lord, we are transformed, that we change, that we don't remain who we were. And this is why someone like Padre Pio could say, it would be easier for the earth to exist without the sun than to exist without the celebration of the Mass. Now, I want to close with this. So you might be thinking, what many others have thought, a little story. G.K. Chesterton, a great writer who lived in England last century, who was caused up for canonization, a Protestant friend of his came to him and said, you know what? I know a man who goes to Mass, a Catholic man, who goes to Mass every single day, and he's a grumpy, crabby old man. That is proof that the Mass is not what you Catholics say it is. And G.K. Chesterton, without batting an eye, said, you should have seen that man before he started going to daily Mass. He said, that man was a monster. My brothers and sisters, why don't we change radically the moment we receive our Lord? Why didn't the apostles change the moment they met him? They were with him every single day for 3 years, and they bumbled and stumbled along. They had to grow little by little, all part of God's plan. But in and through their contact with him time and time again, they became new men and the greatest of saints of all time. The more often we receive our Lord, the more we are transformed, even if we don't recognize it in the moment. That's why our faith teaches the greatest thing we could ever do is to receive the body and blood of our Lord as frequently as possible. And I close with a quote from St. John Vianney. He said, all good works that you could ever do, every kind deed, every charitable act, every sacrifice, every prayer you ever make, would not be equal to the sacrifice of one Mass. Because every good work is a human work, but the sacrifice of the Mass is a work of God.